Good morning, Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here. Andy Bunker, glad to have you back up in the house.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back up in the house and everything. As you know, everybody pretty much knows you were up there doing God's work, doing some great volunteering and everything. And I mean by God's work, giving your heart to others. You're doing your best to see if, you know, you can help others just a little bit,
doing
man.
What you can.
And that's all about
that's all
sometimes,
you can do.
Dog.
That's
I
all
mean,
you can
it's glad to have you back. And all, obviously, you're talking about the fundraiser during the handoff, and it's going really, really well. And we talked about you while you were gone, thanking everybody and you know, just giving whatever you can. And I thought it's just been really, really good showing for the people, and hopefully goes up there and helps out as much as you can.
It will. There's no doubt that it will. I know I've been beating the drum on this, but I'm going to continue to do it. I finally found the type of talking about money that I'm good at. Never been good at asking for money for myself.
Right.
But if I'm asking for money for the Haywood County Schools Foundation
right.
or the people of Western North Carolina, I am shameless and I am
There's
unashamed.
Nothing, you should
yeah,
be. You
I am
should
unashamed.
Be. You should not be ashamed.
So if you have any money, no, I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you got $5, whatever you can do. And that was a big part of this last, you know, being up there and all that is like, you know, not everybody can do this. Not everybody can do that, but everybody can do something, right? If it's $5, you can send up there right now. Awesome. If you can send more than that, great. Being up there and seeing people so willing to just be a part of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the thing that is, I don't know, probably the good part of all of these situations, because these things happen, you know, there's natural disasters and then you get to see communities respond to it. And it's like, you know, every place we went that we were dropping off supplies or handing out supplies or whatever, there was probably 5 to 1 people there to drop stuff off rather than people pick it up. You know what I mean? So just the I don't know, communities and then people coming together and trying to have each other's backs in situations like this is beautiful to see, because the flip side of it is horrifying.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right.
Like, and people need it. Like I'll be honest, like, you know, I'm still new to the region. You lived in Miami for a while.
Yes.
Bo's from Louisiana. I've never seen stuff like that before. I never been down in the Gulf Coast for anything like that. So, you know, walking into houses that are a total loss because of flooding. It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Man. It opens your eyes, man. It really, really does, man.
Really
and I
does.
Know we know it's going, something's going down in Tampa and everything. I just talked to my man Flip a little while ago. He's a, you know, I mean, you know, he lived in Tampa since he was drafted there, so he understands. He's been through these before, but he's buckled down and everything. So obviously we're thinking about those people down there. But yeah, I mean, these because it's like, you could always talk about, you know, evacuating and all those different things, but the house can't evacuate.
Right.
And all your stuff that, you know, and we take little things like, you know, kids' pictures and all those different things. You take
yeah.
it for granted, man. And
the priceless stuff.
And then you think about those people, they've been there their whole lives. That those houses have been probably passed down generation to generation and things like that. And, you know, and I'm the one in this one, and it happens. But, but I'm glad that you and your wife got an opportunity, the kids and everybody got a chance to go help out.
And that was the thing about it was, you know, I got to do what I did, and I'm happy that I got to do it. I'm young enough and strong enough and all that to sort of help in that way. We were able to clear some debris out and help people clean their houses out and whatever. Just be there for them, that kind of stuff. Lily, who's 4, knows how to spell 2 words. She knows how to spell, well, 3 words, if you include her name. And dog and cat, right?
There you go.
Those are the 2 words she knows how to spell. Well, there was a need to put dog food and cat food into bags, right?
Yep.
She labeled the bags and
there
she scooped the stuff.
My girl.
So if even a 4-year-old who knows 2 words
right.
can help out
there
in a situation
go.
Like this, then anybody can.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they had a thing set up in the church parking lot yesterday, and they're going to do it twice a week. They're going to do it Tuesdays and Thursdays, where it's all, like, mechanics, essentially, in the area that know how to fix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Small engine mechanics, car mechanics, whatever. And if you need something fixed, you could bring it there, no questions asked, and they would fix it for you. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they could do. That's what that person could do. Plumbers just driving around in their vehicles. Electricians just driving around like, all right, what do you need? All right, come in, fix it, whatever. No invoice. I'm not charging you for this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just
right.
to get people's power back on and their water running. Like, I don't know. It seems like we... we spend a lot, not us, but the general narrative these days tends to be
about yourself.
What's wrong with people, mm-hmm. or what's wrong with this? People are fine.
Yep.
People are awesome. I think the way people get talked about is wrong, and I think there's a bad narrative surrounding what people are. People are great. Like, just seeing what everybody was doing up there these last couple of days, there's nothing wrong with people. Like, there might be wrong with, I don't know, the way people are governed or whatever, the way people are covered, anything like that. But people themselves, the individuals, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see the last couple of days. So, anyway, thanks to Abe for filling in. Thanks to everybody for sending money who's been able to do it. I'm going to continue to ask you for more. Being around the people that work in that community, that work in that school system, just knowing that we're down here thinking about them, mm-hmm. means the world to
I
them.
Bet it does.
The fact that we're sending money up to them means even more than that.
I bet it does.
We drove by the school foundation building, whatever it is, the Haywood County School District building. 7 feet of water.
Damn.
In the building. So everything is ruined in that building. So some of this money will go to that. Drove by a handful of fields. I posted a picture of one of them on Instagram the other day, like little league fields, football mm-hmm. fields, stuff like that. Ruined. Mm-hmm. Like, just completely ruined. So some of this money will go to that too. And then part of Monday was what I did was cleaned out one of those houses. And one of those houses had two kids in it that are elementary school kids. Everything they had's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All their books, all their toys, all their backpacks, whatever. So when school's going to start back up, a week from today, I think they'll go half day Tuesday and then they'll start back up Wednesday. You don't have a backpack, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have pencils or whatever. So some of this money will go to that too.
Love
so,
it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Love
if
it.
You can, head over to 929thegame.com and help out the Helene Assist. And again, to be so close to $10,000 a weekend is remarkable.
Freaking awesome.
So thanks everybody for that. Anything happen in sports?
We know that Aaron Rodgers got his coach fired.
Now, did he?
But they didn't say it was him. It was more or less Andy, that the owner and Woody didn't hire him, his brother or whatever, because remember he was doing his thing as the ambassador. And so he hired Robert Saleh. Woody wasn't feeling it. Mm. And then, you know, coming home, they said, now this is the new news. So I guess he met with them. Woody, their owner, met with Robert and the coordinator, said, we need to show, have a good showing over in London. Mm. They didn't.
Don't embarrass me
don't
in front of the Brits.
Don't embarrass me in front of my people. Thank you. Because you know that's the people over there.
Sure,
now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so don't embarrass me in front of my people. They did. He comes back. I guess Robert Saleh wanted to fire, or no, he wanted to demote Hackett, which was, and then, you know, get a new guy in there. Aaron said no. And then he's fired.
Yeah. I mean, we know what it is,
we know
right?
what it is.
Like, they can say what they want to say.
Yeah, I mean, they can do what they want to do and say what they want to say.
But Aaron Rodgers didn't like him.
Yeah. He didn't like Aaron Rodgers.
And he didn't like Aaron Rodgers. And they're not firing Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So, fire the coach.
That's what I'm saying.
Now,
like,
is it a solution? Probably not. I don't know.
You know that new coach energy, man.
I guess.
But the thing about it, they win Monday night against the Bills. They'll be in first place in the division.
That's right. That's the thing about it.
Yes.
That's the flip side of it is because I know everyone's like, what are they doing? They're one win away from being in first place. Yeah, but they're also one loss away from being well out of it.
Right.
And if they thought that this is what it took to salvage the season, which again, I don't buy. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Rodgers didn't like him and told him to fire him. And so they fired him and that's what happened. Maybe that isn't, but that's what I choose to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems most reasonable. Now, maybe it fixes things. Now, they're still terrible on offense.
They are.
They're like the 25th offense.
And the guy who's calling the plays is still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's the guy, he's Aaron Rodgers' buddy.
Yes.
So he gets to stay.
Yeah, he gets to stay.
Defense, meanwhile, is like top five.
Yes.
Very good defense.
But the guy who calls the defense is the new coach.
Yeah, but Saleh is also part of that. Like, he's a defensive, but I guess he's in charge of all of it.
Yep.
All right. Anything weird on Saturday in college football or anything?
Oh my goodness, dude! Did Jim get the chance? Did Jim?
Sadly.
Oh, the cable.
Sadly,
uh-huh.
The power in the cable was back by Saturday.
Oh, so he got to watch Tennessee
lose.
Yeah,
I know. He's the only guy in Western North Carolina sad to have his cable back because he had to sit there and watch Tennessee lose to Arkansas on Saturday night, man. Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to catch up
dude,
on.
Dude, it was crazy.
I'm gonna
crazy weekend.
I'm sure Abe had plenty of hot takes, but I'm gonna treat this like a Monday. Get all mine out too. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending. I know the Hawks played last night in a preseason game. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So the Hawks are down 24-11. Now here's a near steal, but now the Hawks get it up. Zachary Rizochet drives to the hole. Little finger roll is good. Zachary Rizochet gets his first 2 points in a preseason game.
There you have it. The number one pick last night makes his preseason debut for the Hawks. Comes off the bench. Scores 18 points. The Hawks win at the buzzer against the Pacers, who, by the way, were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, remember? Yep. So they're playing an Eastern Conference juggernaut in the first game of the preseason. And they went out there. And they looked fine. I don't know. I mean, it was pretty cool to see some of the new guys out there. Yeah. They definitely look like longer, and it looks like they're going to try to run, and they look pretty athletic, which is cool. Hard to take too much out of a preseason game one way or the other, but certainly good to see Rizochet out there.
Yeah, I mean, I sat down, and I did watch it. I mean, it was on one of the TVs. But, get a chance to watch him and everything. You see how athletic this kid is.
Yeah.
I thought that, Dyson Daniels, he looked all right, too. Mm-hmm. The kid comes down between the legs to Clint. I was like, oh, hell. But Clint caught it. You know how his hands are. He caught it, he bobbled a little bit, but he did make the basket in the and one.
Somehow.
You know, Trey was just doing Trey things.
Yeah.
And Jalen Johnson looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He does. He looks good and everything. But like you said, it's a preseason game, but it was good to see what you kind of think, what they kind of want to be. Like you said, they are a little bit longer and bigger on the wings, and they want to get up and down the transition, which is fine. They still can't defend worth a damn. But, you know, I mean, that's what it was. I'll chalk it up preseason, Andy, because they did come back.
Yeah.
They were getting the hell beat out of them first.
That looked like a workout. Like, neither team was doing a damn thing on the defensive. And now neither – if it's – maybe that was their best, because both teams last year pretty much defended like that.
Right.
That's pretty much how the Pacers and the Hawks played defense last year. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully as the season goes, things will tighten up a little bit as far as that end of the basket goes. But when Rizochet makes that layup, right, he did a little move before,
mm-hmm.
saw it on Twitter described, and I wouldn't disagree with this, as a Euro step,
mm-hmm.
right? But what if you're European? Isn't that just a step?
Oh, my. How long did it take you to come up with that?
That
just popped in your head.
Just thought of it.
That just popped in your head.
No, I thought of it yesterday.
I thought so. I'm like, that ain't nothing that you gonna come off top, off the dome right there.
No, I thought of that.
No,
it's just a step if you're European.
No, it's not, Andy. It's a Euro step. It's an actual move.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an actual move. All right, that's glad to have
to
you
him,
back.
To him, that's
brother.
Just a step.
Glad to have you back, brother.
We donated a lot of stuff to people in Western North Carolina, but not the jokes. They can't have the jokes.
Hey, yeah. I don't want you to come up with that one right there.
I saw it yesterday. Well, I thought about it before because a lot of Euros like to do the Euro step. I think I made that joke before about Luka.
Oh.
I was like, when Luka, he does it, it's just a step, not a Euro step, you know, because he's from Europe.
But they won the game. They won the game. Buzzer yeah. beater, exciting at the end.
Seth Lundy, baby.
Seth Lundy. I was like, okay, shoot it. And it's one of those things where you're looking at it like, that's about to go in and watch. And damn it if it did hit the bottom of the net.
15 guys played.
Yeah. I mean, it's preseason, so yeah. You got to figure out something.
Hawks play their starters in preseason.
Oh. Uh-oh. 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 And they played a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think 20 minutes or something
20
like that.
20 or so.
Yeah. Get them out there. Get them, you know, in some live game action, game reps and everything. Like, and you know, do your thing.
I traded DeAndre Hunter so many times in my
mind. Him and Clint.
That I was surprised. I was like, oh, right. Yeah. They didn't actually trade him. Yeah. Only I did, mentally. Yeah. 15 times. Over the offseason. But no, DeAndre is still there. Still plays for him.
Yeah. I mean, him and Clint were the two guys that we did not assume would be on this roster.
Yeah, I didn't think they would be.
Did not think they would be on there.
Midseason form from DeAndre, though.
You know.
2-10, 0-6 from downtown.
He's a bench player, man.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, no. He started last night. He started last night, but he's a bench player. He needs to come off the bench to get the absolute best out of him.
Sixth man.
Yeah, he's a sixth, seventh man or whatever.
Bogey's kind of the sixth man.
Yeah, because Bogey didn't play last night.
Yeah. So there you go. Maybe Bogey starts, though.
Yeah. I don't know. But DeAndre Hunter, he needs to come off the bench, right?
Yeah.
He
was really good in that role. And to be fair, like all jokes aside, he actually had a pretty good year last year by his standards.
Okay.
Probably the best year of his career.
Uh-huh.
It was.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm saying, I'm the fourth overall pick. I'm the fourth overall pick by my original franchise, and I'm the sixth man. Okay.
But I'm a sixth man. I'm not a bucket getting sixth man. Because,
right.
Like, if that's what you turn into, like, Jason Terry turned into that bucket getter, right? Like, Lou Williams turned into that. Jamal turned into that.
But
like,
he ain't no bucket getter.
No. So he's a sixth man who, like, what is
he? He's a sixth man role player.
Yeah. He was all right. Anyway, they played last night. They'll play a couple more preseason games. And then the regular season will roll around. And we'll see who starts then.
Yes.
Talk about it at that point. All right. Here's something that sucks to talk about. I know you guys probably talked about it yesterday. Situation in Athens with Colby Young. Here's Kirby talking about not having spoken with him yet. I bet that's not true.
I know you guys want to know about Colby and want to ask about it, but it's a pending legal matter, and I don't have any answers right now, and have not even had a chance to talk to him yet, so I can't answer any questions about it right now.
Well, he has been suspended indefinitely by Kirby, and pending the legal process and all those different things, rightfully so.
Yep.
He should be, and that's exactly what Kirby decided to do, and so he won't be with the team for the foreseeable future. And now you just got to keep going on down the stretch, and another guy's got to step into the role that he was doing and everything like that in order to get this thing started and get this thing, get it jump started. I mean, not the season started, but let go.
Yeah. The same thing on Saturday.
Yeah, let's go.
Slow starts. What are we doing?
Let's go.
I realize they're trying to get ETN involved, and he had a pretty good game. They got him the ball quite a bit. But, yeah, I mean, finally, midway through the third quarter, they got the offense rolling.
Let go.
But why does it take 25 minutes to get the offense rolling?
Let go.
Yeah, right. And that's true, and that's definitely something that's plagued this football team on the field, and hopefully it's something that they can clean up. The off-the-field stuff, though, again,
it's a pain in the ass.
The details of every individual instance are important because they're all different. Like, a lot of them are traffic violations. Obviously, Ra-Ra Thomas got kicked off the team for his incident in the offseason. But it's just like, more than anything, it's just kind of like the repetition.
Yes.
Of it. It's like just again. Like,
yeah, like another Georgia player arrested.
What are we doing?
Another Georgia player arrested.
What are we doing what are we going to do about it?
Like, how long can we go this time?
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like that thing in the factory. It's like X amount of days since an injury. Well, I guess when did he get arrested? Sunday?
Yeah.
And it's Wednesday. So 3 days.
There we go.
That's pretty good for Georgia.
Yeah, man. But it's just getting real tiresome to just always see that right now, man. Because we can talk about these kids. All I see is Georgia players, and I know this. These are kids, whatever. But it seems like it's always us.
Yeah, and again, I go back to the same thing that I ask when we talk about the traffic violation stuff, like the speeding and the racing and all that. I just don't know what you do. Like, guys are, you know, guys get in trouble and do dumb stuff. This is obviously that, but like, how do you? You can't stop it entirely. It's more how you react to it, I think. He kicked Ra-Ra Thomas off the team. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's about as hard as you can come down on somebody, right? Trevor Etienne got suspended for the first game. They can say what they want to say. He got suspended for that first game for what he did in the offseason, getting arrested for driving drunk. I mean, again, suspended indefinitely, probably eventually will get kicked off the team, I assume. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But, like, those are pretty harsh reactions, right?
Yes.
Like, that Kirby's doing... Yeah.
I gotta go.
I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, solution is stop being dumbasses.
I know. That's good.
Yeah.
Anybody suggested that?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
Would have said that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If they hadn't, they have you over for a pep talk or something.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Randy to tell you guys to stop being dumbasses. All right. Here's Raheem talking about the Carolina Panthers.
Being.
Well, you got to beat a tackle, you know, Chubb, and, like, he's got a chance to go out there and run the ball as well as anybody. He's done that over the last couple of years. He's played really well. They put in Andy Dalton. He's played really well from the last couple of weeks, and we don't know where they're going to go there. Whether they go back to BY, whether they stay with Andy, whatever the case may be, you got to prepare for all those things. They got some young, dynamic wideouts. One that I know really well, Deontay Johnson, coming from Pittsburgh, and then they got the young kids out there that's playing really well for those guys. And we got to go prepare for these guys and get ready to play a tough division game. You know, the National Football League is tough, man. We all nameless great faces, so you better show up every single week, or you can be in some real awakenings.
He's right. Man, go beat the hell out of them. They're not good.
Yeah. I mean, he's right about the respect.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that you approach it, for sure.
Definitely.
100%.
They're going to beat the hell out of them.
There are certain games where you, if you are a good team, which it seems like the Falcons are, if you're a good team, then you go out there and you do, because the Bears aren't that good. They're all right. Bears are okay.
Bears are all right.
They beat them 36-10.
They need to beat them.
They smacked them.
And something we talked about, they need to get, their whole offensive line is depleted. They need at least – the Falcons should have at least 3 sacks.
Whew.
At least 3 sacks this game.
Pump the brakes.
At least 3 sacks.
Pump the brakes.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to pump
sacks.
Them. I don't want to pump them. They should have at least – they have nothing up front.
No.
They have nothing defensively up front.
I think the Falcons have 3 sacks
on the
season.
Leggett and some of those dudes are really, really good players. They're good young players.
But they don't protect the quarterback.
They can't protect the quarterback to give him the ball. Don't go up there tricking.
No.
Yeah, don't be up there. Don't be up there tricking, man.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't be up there tricking. They are not that. They are not good.
No, they suck. Like, it's okay. The Panthers are awful. They're a terrible football team. The Falcons do have 5 sacks on the year, so they would almost double the total if they're able to get three. Doesn't three seem aggressive?
Maybe I don't care.
Two. Maybe two.
No, I'm going to go three. I said two yesterday. I'm upping it one more.
Oh, God. By the time we get to Friday, you're going to say six.
No, I ain't going to go that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Don't get greedy.
Yeah,
I'm
not going to get greedy or nothing like that. But, no, they're not good.
No, they're not.
They're not. I know it's the National Football League and any game of Sunday and blah, 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 all that other crap. They are not good. Mm-mm. They should go up there and manhandle this squad.
Yeah, there should be an opportunity for the Falcons coming off of two consecutive wins and that incredible finish against Tampa. Mini bye.
Right.
Hopefully a little bit of extra health. We'll obviously be monitoring that as the week goes on. Dave Archer going to join us in about 10 minutes, and he's obviously up there, so maybe he'll have a little insight into who's healthy and who isn't. You're getting good indicators on Landman and stuff like that. So that's
good. Get the run game going.
That'd be good. This is one of those, and God, I don't. For so long, the Falcons were this team, so it almost is dangerous to say it.
Get that thing right on them.
But it's a get right.
Yeah.
They're the get right team. The Panthers are.
Get that thing right on them.
Kirk got right last time out. 500 yards passing. They were so dynamic in the pass game. And it's good to know that they can do that. And if that's what they want to do on Sunday, cool. If he wants to go for 500 every game, that's fine with me. But it'd be good to get a little balance, too, and get the run game going.
Yep.
And I think you can do that against the Panthers. If you look at what they gave up, 128 on the ground. Not a crazy yard per carry average that Chicago put up, but Chicago had a pretty good day on the ground against them. So maybe you could do that.
Get right.
Got to get right.
Get right, man.
They're a bad team.
They're not very good.
Now you do have to go to Charlotte.
Okay. They won in Charlotte. When's the last time they won up there?
It's been a minute
since they won.
That wasn't what I meant, but that's a good point, too.
Man, when's the last time they won up there?
I don't know.
Oh, man, no. They
probably 2 years ago.
I know they lost. Did Marcus Mariota beat them up there? No, because that was the one where he's laying on his back throwing a damn ball.
Did they lose that game?
Yeah, they lost that game.
I don't remember.
And then you had the damn Desmond with the pick.
I've blocked a lot of the last couple years out with my memory.
When's the last time they won up there?
I don't know. But that'll change. We'll change that on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. They're going to win the game. Yes, they will win the football game. It sucks it's a 4 o'clock game.
I'm doing a watch party.
No, that's right. I teed it up for you.
I don't know where it is, though. Somebody?
Yeah, that's why I teed it up for you.
You guys hear the reads of the commercials or anything?
Hey, yeah, but it's like it's a 4 o'clock game.
I'll
but
tell you where it's
you
at.
You can go hang out with Andy on Sunday.
Where at? Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, just let me know where it is. I ain't doing nothing. I'll fall through. I don't think I'm doing anything.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I know. I should have teed it up, too. That's partially my fault.
It's not in the stack of papers that I have. You can donate to our Hurricane Helene Assist Fund.
Yes, we need to do that because one of my great friends, Stanley Christian, went to high school with Stanley. He just texted me, and he's trying to find a fundraiser. So
Wicked Wolf.
Yes.
That's where we're going to be on Sunday, Wicked Wolf in Midtown, for a Falcons watch party with me. So if you can be there, we'll watch the Falcons beat the Panthers on Sunday at Wicked Wolf in Midtown. Going to be a great time. Going to be a fantastic time. Dave Archer is going to join us next. We'll talk more Falcons with Arch. Don't go anywhere. This hour, by the way, of the Midday Show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What?
I don't know how to loop this into the song phrases of Boston that we get for Dave, because this song is called Foreplay, and I don't know how you put that with football, so I laughed.
Yeah, because usually the plays are like 6-point plays or 3-point plays.
Yeah. I can't figure it out.
Does that mean something else?
No, Andy. We're not grown ups here.
4-point plays are in basketball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sports. Oh. Oh, it's a sex thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. All right. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. I've been gone the last couple days, so I'm going to say some stuff about the games that happened on Sunday and Monday. And Randy's going to tell you about the stuff that's happened this week, and we'll start looking ahead to Sunday as well. We're going to do a college football corner at 12:20, and I'm sure you guys have talked it to death over the last couple of days, but I got to talk about everything that happened on Saturday with you, with Alabama losing to Vanderbilt and obviously Washington beating Michigan, among other big games that happened. We got to get to that at 12:20. But before we do any of that, Dave Archer joins us on Wednesdays at 11:40. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. What's up, Arch?
Well, I'm just a little surprised that a guy that's got children and doesn't know anything about foreplay. I'm a little surprised about that. But
my wife.
Maybe Randy. Maybe you can take a segment and Randy can explain that to you.
Nobody more disappointed than my wife in the way that segment started. Hey, let's talk about what Kirk Cousins, because we haven't talked to you since last Wednesday, obviously, and they played Thursday night, so it's a while ago, but still the most recent game and very impressive. What stood out most about what Kirk Cousins did in that incredible performance on Thursday night?
Yeah, just the anticipation, Andy. And he talked about it after the game. You guys had the cut. I think you guys have probably played it. He was disappointed in himself. I don't think there was a lot of – he's not a finger pointer anyway, but there was not a lot of discussion about guys around him. The first 4 weeks of the season, he was talking about things that he needed to do better. And some of that was anticipating. Well, Randy will tell you that a lot of that comes with learning the idiosyncrasies of your players, the little hints they give you at the top of the routes, their body language, things like that allow you to anticipate throws. But I thought this was one of those moments, and certainly the numbers would indicate it, that this is one of those nights where, like, Jordan hit all those threes and shrugged at the crowd like, I don't know, man, they're just all going in. I mean, that was the kind of night he was having, because his anticipation throws, those in cuts inside those linebackers or finding guys up the seam, he was seeing it a count early or two counts early. And anybody that's thrown the football will tell you that's zone. You're in a zone at that point, and he was helped by really some tremendous routes by his receivers and stuff to give him those abilities to anticipate. But really, it was him really just finding his groove, and let's hope that this is kind of the hump that he needed to get over to be this kind of guy every week.
I know we played the call with you and Wes, which was great. I don't know. We know what you said, but it almost came out a different way. But you're a professional, Dave.
Hey.
You're a professional.
We were all saying the same thing.
We were all saying the same thing. So, yeah, but we weren't saying it into a mic. But, yeah, great call on that and everything like that, Dave. But I want to go back to the defense, because, you know, was it more or less gap control on some of those big runs? Because that one big run that Tampa had, what was it? What was the case in your eyes, what you saw as far as, was it gap control? Was somebody not playing the right technique? How did they get out of there, and how did Atlanta kind of slow that run game after that?
Yeah, I think it was kind of threefold in that what you're talking about, the ability, you know, to not necessarily fit against the gaps properly and fit the run. Give Tampa credit. I mean, they found a couple of ways to get up to the second level and get guys blocked. And then something that's kind of bothered Atlanta in the first half of the last couple of games is they haven't tackled very well in space. And I thought that Justin Simmons on the long run misses a play you have to make at safety. He misses the tackle, and it results in that long run by Rashad White. So I think that it's not just one thing. As you and I both know, we go into meetings and we sit down. It's not one thing that's going on. There's a couple things you got to kind of fix. But certainly gap integrity and trying to make sure you're a little bit more aggressive at the point of attack, not allowing yourself to be blocked. And then you got to make the tackle when you get there. So those are the kind of things I think they're going to need to do that this weekend, because you can bet that Carolina's going to try to run it between the tackles. Carolina's had success in the last couple of years against Atlanta running between tackles. I know this is a different regime. They have a different regime. But they've got a back that's starting to come into his own in Chuba Hubbard. He had 100 yards two times prior to last weekend, and he ran for 97 last weekend. So you could essentially say he's run for 100 yards in three consecutive games or thereabout for Carolina. And they need him to play well. They need that for Andy Dalton or for Bryce Young, whoever plays a quarterback.
Yeah, he's averaging almost 6 yards a carry, Arch. And maybe he's the answer to this question, which was, what does Carolina do well? Like, what are the one or two specific things? Because obviously they're not particularly good, but any given Sunday, we get it. What's the one or two things that the Falcons really have to key in on against them?
Well, I think that from the defensive side of the football, might be just what we talked about is the way you're playing defensively. I know a lot of people want pass rush, and they want people to get home to the quarterback. Well, the way you're playing in the secondary, you're not really pinning the quarterback to where he's got to hold the football. If you come up and play press coverage and you're taking away those quick early throws, now he's got to hold on to the ball, and that lends itself to some pass rush. If you're going to play a little bit softer, play that cover four or quarter half or those kind of things where you're playing off, those inside throws, the slot routes, slot receivers, the stick routes, the slants are all going to be there, the flat routes to the back. And quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, and if Andy Dalton plays, I would expect Andy to do the same thing that we've seen the last three veteran quarterbacks do, is take what they give you and stay in those manageable situations. So with that, you're going to have to tackle well. I think that's number one. And I think they've been a little lax in the first half of games tackling. They need to get their tackling on early on. And I think if you do that, you're going to force this Carolina team into some uncomfortable situations because they're not completely settled up front. They've got some injuries up front. And, you know, obviously there's a transition at quarterback and things like that. They've got different receivers that are trying to blend with one another together. So you could put them in a hole pretty quickly if you can take some of that stuff away, and that means tackle well from a defensive standpoint.
Hey, Dave, I think I was surprised. I think a lot of other people were there. Ruka Royo has not played until last week. Well, he got his opportunity, Dave, and he seemed like he brought his big boy britches with him. He saw some great pad level hands throwing people. Do you think that continues his role as far as getting more playing time?
Yeah, I hope so. I thought I would agree with you, Randy. I thought he played with it. My quote was he was playing with his hair on fire just simply because, you know, he hadn't gotten to play. And so I think it was a lot of pent-up frustration that he wanted to be on the field, played 50-some games at Clemson. He's not used to standing on the sideline and certainly not standing in street clothes. So he was fired up and ready to play. And I thought that his energy kind of translated to some of the other guys. When he did get on the field, I thought that you saw a marketable improvement with that second unit. I think when Onyemata and Jared are in the game, there is some stability in the interior, albeit it's not where we want it. But when that second unit came on the field, I thought there was a pretty big drop-off in the interior run defense. I thought Ororo helped out significantly with that, and I would assume that it would give him some more opportunities to play.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Falcons ahead of the Falcons and Panthers game coming up this Sunday afternoon. Just kind of reading some of the quotes from Raheem earlier today. Sounds like Troy Anderson still day-to-day. Sounds like Landman's probably going to be back. Any other injury updates or anything like that, as we'll obviously monitor that throughout the week?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I thought that I saw Drake London post-game after the game on Thursday. He looked like he was okay. Drake came out of the game a couple of times, which, as it turned out, Kadarius Hodge goes in and fills in. You talk about next man up.
Right.
I know that's something that we all talk about as players, but that next guy steps in. You can't have a drop-off. And, man, Kadarius Hodge proved that if that's the case, then you love what he did. He played quite a bit last weekend as well in games he did, or in points where he didn't get the football. When he did, he made something big happen. But so that was the only other one that stuck out to me. I thought that everybody else got back on the field. It was good to see, even though Caleb McGarry looked a little bit rusty, got beat a couple times, it was good to see him back out on the field. I'm not sure where Drew Dahlman is. Sounds like Drew Dahlman is still a ways away. I think Neuzel is playing better at the center spot, albeit he's not the biggest guy in the world. Fortunately, it doesn't look like you're going to have to deal with Derek Brown this weekend. Now, Shai Tuttle is a big, heavy guy at the nose tackle position, but Derek Brown's a difference maker. He's like Vita Vea, and it doesn't look like he'll be available this week.
What about some of those skill players up there, Dave? I know you talked already about Hubbard. Obviously, they want to get him going, take some of the pressure off of that offense. But what about some of their skill players? We know Deontay Johnson, but what about the young man from South Carolina, Leggett?
Yeah, Leggett's a kid that, you know, they like. He's a gigantic target, 6'3", 230 pounds. So he's a mismatch type of guy. Mingo's a big kid, too. They got two big receivers. They put Jalen Coakler in too. He's a kid from Holy Cross. He's 6'3", 215. They've got some big receivers there. Deontay Johnson's, they have to carry him into the meetings on a dinner plate because everybody else is gigantic in that wide receiver room. That'll be interesting. And Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, they're just still waiting for him to kind of burst on the scene. He had three catches last week, and he's only got eight on the year, but he was a significant target for Quinn Ewers last year at Texas, and I expect him to at some point become one of those tight ends that can step up and make plays. Tommy Tribble, I don't know if you saw the game last week against Chicago. He got knocked into tomorrow, and yes, I don't think he'll be available from a concussion standpoint, so you expect the young Sanders kid to step up. So they got some young players, Coker, Leggett, and Sanders, that they're hoping will come on, but they need to come on pretty quickly.
Hey, Arch, we're going to have Zach Robinson on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation. But what do you feel like, from your perspective, he's gotten more comfortable with, the team's gotten more comfortable with, and just sort of his play calling as it's evolved in the first five games?
Well, I think he had to get to know, Andy, the players too. I think there's a familiarity with guys, and especially with them not playing in the preseason. And I know everybody kind of goes back to that, and rightly so. I mean, you see him in practice and stuff, but the game lights are different, and how you sub guys in, who you want in the game in certain situations, trying to figure out the running back rotation, those type of things. And then his quarterback, he's, you know, he said himself he was not comfortable in the first few weeks of the season. It had something to do with the players around him, maybe a little bit of the revolving door with a couple of guys up front, but then just the way Zach wants to call the game. And I think those two guys had to blend. So Zach is probably a victim of to a certain extent, his own self, but the guys getting comfortable around him with the way things are going to be called. So I think it's all a growing process. I think he'll continue to get better.
All right, Dave, the Cyclones, they're in the top 10. I think they're at 7 right now. They got to go up to Morgantown at night. Can the Cyclones and nephew Beck, can they bring it home?
Well, if you're not fearful of couches on fire and cars on blocks and things like that, no, I'm playing. It's a situation where that's really difficult to play. That's a good place to play. That's a good crowd. It's a great home crowd. They don't have, you know, the pro teams and all that kind of stuff. This is their pro team. Now, the injury situation at quarterback for South Carolina will be interesting. Garrett Green got knocked out of the game for a little while. He scored a touchdown early on in that game last weekend. Nico Marquial, who's a highly recruited kid, played some for them. What they got going on at quarterback? But I like the Cyclones going in there. I think they've got a mode about them. They play really good defensively. You're going to need to run the football, and Rocco's going to have to take care of it. But they're in a pretty good position, man. They're 5-0. Yeah.
Yeah,
in a good spot. Yeah. All right, okay, absolutely.
Oh, and by the way, real quickly, I heard you say something last week that was talking about playoffs, and you guys were projecting. Oh, you said the Cyclones don't want anything about this Georgia Bulldog.
Well, no,
you know what?
No.
If we get the Georgia Bulldogs, that's fine. What? If we get Georgia, we'll take Georgia right now this weekend if you want to do
the
that.
The only reason I said it because Rocco's dad texted me and said that. He said, I don't know if Rocco wants
to. Rocco paying homage to Randy McMichael, sounds like to me. We'll take the dogs tomorrow if they want to play.
All right,
Arch.
Appreciate it, Arch. Have a good call, brother.
See you, boys. Take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Network analyst, every Wednesday at this time. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad you asked that. I didn't realize they were 5-0.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they're 11th in the AP poll.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, man.
You guys must have been talking about that earlier this week.
Yeah.
Because Georgia at 5, right, they would play.
Yeah, and his dad texted me. Rocco's dad texted me. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you want them problems. I don't think nephew want them problems, man. But he's playing well, though. He's playing good.
That's awesome. A lot of sneaky 5-0 teams.
Yeah, man.
BYU's 5-0. Indiana 6-0.
Do you remember when the last one? Because I remember I picked the games 2 weeks ago when like Baylor was favored over BYU.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
And then BYU beat the hell out of them?
Beat the hell out of them.
Abe went to Indiana, right?
Yes.
Is he talking about that yet?
We mentioned Monday, I think.
He did?
Yeah.
All right.
We mentioned Monday.
I guess he doesn't have the school pride you and I have.
No, he does not because he went to Indiana, but he likes the damn Gators.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's weird.
Yeah, it really is.
Rep the Hoosiers. You know?
Especially now they're winning.
You paid all the money to go there. Maybe he was on scholarship. There's a whole
what
movie.
What scholarship was Abe on? Was he on a trivia scholarship or something?
Intramural football.
Intramural.
He was a teleporter.
The teleporter. Yeah.
He must have teleported somewhere today because he's not here. Dang. I was really hoping to see him. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.